Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And mine's George Mini.
I've been thinking to actually change that intro, George. I don't know what you think.
Well, we can change it.
I got bullied behind the scenes by our editing
friends.
Team.
Oh.
Yeah, they were like, you gotta switch it up, man. You gotta give the people something different.
What do you want to change it to?
I don't know. What do you suggest? Is there anything that you...
No. You're making your bullying my problem.
I don't know. I think we'll change it for the next episode. Maybe I'll keep trying new things. Try and keep it fresh for everyone who's watching.
Something like Hamilton's been doing for a few months.
Keeping it fresh. You know what I'm saying? I agree with that. Speaking of, how did you find the race?
And failing.
Yeah, how did you find the race?
I thought it was pretty good. I think Spain is always an interesting race because it's faster than Monaco, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's more overtaking opportunity.
Yeah, for sure.
I like something that I think it was Martin Brundle he said, and that is they should change the DRS.
Yes.
To be shorter than the straight so that you can choose when to use it.
Yes, that would actually be a really good idea. So it's not like the length of the straight, yes. But like, let's get strategic with it.
So let's say you can use it for, you know, half of the straight.
Yeah.
And maybe have more DRS zones.
Mm.
So you have to push the button when you push the button.
Mm.
You know, so you might... like go flat out and then when the car pulls out next to you, you use it, you know, and then have the ability for all cars to use it down the straight.
Not just the car following. Yeah.
You know, that would be interesting as well because then, you know, do you use it in the beginning of the straight? Do you use it at the end of the straight?
Depending on the setup of your car, I think that's where it will get really interesting. Some cars are slow, for instance, top end speed, so you might want to use it towards the end when you're entering the corner. That would actually switch things up quite a bit.
And, you know, you can, it only works at full throttle.
Mm.
So if the moment you take your foot off the gas, it closes off.
Yeah. That would be interesting. But, I mean, we saw once again, Max just absolutely dominated. But my boy is back in the podium.
He's back in the underdogs.
Yeah. Oh man, you just don't want to give me anything. I mean, Mercedes did well. I think we finally, I wouldn't say back, but we definitely.
Talks like he's part of the team.
I am part of the team. And I did read that that Ferrari thing doesn't seem to be happening. It seems like he's going to be signing again. So. I don't know. Let's see. 2024 might be out.
Yeah, I'm not impressed with Ferrari. I was gutted that Alonso did as badly as he did.
Oh, it's at Aston. For Aston, yeah.
Yes. Mm. You know, I don't know what happened there. I think the car just didn't suit that track or they changed a setup that just didn't work because both cars were like in a similar position.
Yeah, but they weren't the only team. I mean, Ferrari as well. I mean, Leclerc's, he got upgrades and he ended up in qualifying. I think he came like... P19 or something.
Yeah, but it's not upgrades. It's changes. Changes aren't always positive.
Yeah. And so, also the, because both cars had different setups. And you can
see. Signs work better.
Exactly.
Yeah. But Stroll beat Alonso. You know, so I think, I don't know what happened to Alonso.
Let's see what happens. I think we're going to Canada next. But it's a long season. It's still pretty early on. I think we're going to see a lot of changes throughout. Today, we're going to be talking about savings. So basically, how to save when buying and selling a car. But before we get into that, we actually ran a poll. Last week, we spoke about vehicle subscriptions and different ways of car ownership.
Mm.
And you recently ran a poll on the website to see if people would be open to ultimately loaning their cars.
The one I stuffed up on Friday.
Stuff up, yeah. I think it was one question. It was just read incorrectly.
No, I mean, I replaced the question one with the principle of question two. Yeah. That's all I did. And I was like, I mean, the numbers could have made sense.
Yeah.
But then when I started to get to like 4 and 5, it's like, oh no, something's wrong here. And I would look back up at the question. I was like,
something's off.
I switched that. Dumbass.
So what were you trying to understand with the poll? Because I think this was it was a discussion between you and Gareth at the time. But what were you guys trying to understand? Just so if somebody didn't see that, you get an understanding of...
Yeah, so you know Elon Musk as kind of long for a long time floated this idea that it's not an idea, the fact that your car probably stands 80 to 90% of its life.
Yeah.
It stands in a garage, it stands in a parking bay, it stands at the office.
Yeah.
Most of the time it's just sitting doing nothing. And he envisages a world with self-driving and robo-taxis where you could just send your car out to go and take somebody for a ride.
Yeah.
So so the discussion came up around, well, okay, so that's what you can do, but would you?
Are people actually open to this idea of, you know, even if your car right now, I mean, our cars are parked outside, but are you willing to necessarily just go and learn it out?
Exactly. So so we put the poll up to try and understand. And, you know, what was clear was that men seem to have a bigger emotional connection to their car than women. Because let me not get this wrong again. Okay. So women were more likely to loan out their cars. 50% said yes to, whilst more men needed to be convinced.
Yeah. Look, I'm a man, and and based on that, I can tell you now that I'm definitely not open to that idea of loaning out my car. You'd have to convince me, primarily with money. Like, if it was worth the risk from a financial point of view, then I would, you know, be open to it.
And the other interesting thing is that younger men, so you, I mean, you're a younger man, so that's surprising that you're in that category, but I suppose that is kind of by and large how it is. But older men, 55 years and older, were not willing to loan out their cars at all.
Yeah, but I think, I'm trying to understand why that would be the case. Do you think they just, a car is just a car to them?
No, I think older men have more of a connection to their car.
Oh, okay.
Than younger men. And I would think, I mean, I'm almost, I don't want to say I'm almost 50. I'm like in my late 40s. you know, and I know that I would struggle with a question like that.
Yeah.
Given when you grew up as a teenager and young man in my day, a car was a serious thing. It's like part of your identity.
It is, yeah.
You know, sure. And I think men see it as part of their identity more than women do. Mm. Women see it as potentially, I mean, given the results, potentially would see it as functional, something to get from A to B. As long as it's safe, reliable, hey, it could be a box.
Yeah, could be anything really. You know, as long as it's
so job, yeah. Yeah, as, I mean, it could be a robo-taxi. Some women have a strong, you know, especially the ones from like Eastern Cape, Durban area, yeah, have strong emotional connections to their cars.
For sure.
But men more so, and especially older men.
And overwhelmingly, are people more willing to loan out their cars? This is South African based, right? So I think Elon Musk was speaking, you know, global in the US. Are we seeing that in South Africa that people are more open to the idea of loaning their car?
Well, I mean, this survey was only South Africans, right?
Yeah.
So 40% of people said yes, 39% of people said no.
Okay.
And then 21% of people said they'd have to be convinced. So if you take the have to be convinced as a no, you've got a good 61% that, or 61% that said no.
Okay. Not surprising. Were you expecting something different coming into?
No, I was expecting the no's to be higher.
Okay.
And it is higher effectively, yeah, but I wasn't expecting 40 as for high as 40% on the yes side.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit.
What the other interesting thing was, how many cars do your immediate family collectively owns? How many cars in the household? And 62% of consumers have two cars or less. 20% have zero, so let's discount that. 47% have two or one car.
Okay.
So the vast majority of households have one or two cars.
Yeah.
And then I suppose the 21% represent people that don't have cars that were searching on Auto Trader's platform.
Okay. So 40%, I mean, that's not a surprise there. That is a number which I've seen floating around a little bit in terms of people of car ownership in South Africa.
Here's an interesting one.
Yeah.
6.5% of people have more than 7 cars.
6.5%? Yo, that's higher than I would have thought. That's a lot of cars. Why do you need so many cars?
And if you add 6, 5, and 4, yeah. So people with more 4 cars or more, you've got 8, 9, 10, 17% of people have more than 4 cars in their household.
Wow. Wow. That's, yeah. Wow, that's a lot higher than I thought it would be. South Africans love cars. You always say that, you know, South Africa is one of the nations in the world which cars are just a exactly. part of who we are.
Smallest category is 3, 16%.
Mm. As soon as you push that, you know, 2-car threshold.
Yeah, it's either you've got under 2 cars or you've got over 4 cars.
4 cars,
it's
yeah.
like, you know, no one's in the middle. Nobody's the peanut butter.
Super interesting. I mean, I'd like to see us run this poll at some point again in the future when we're starting to see different, you know, car ownership models come up and see how that changes over time and if people still are so attached to their cars or not. But, you know, I guess we'll have to just wait and see.
Double cab 4x4 changes things.
Yeah.
It's very versatile utility. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's the popularity of body tops in South Africa.
Yeah.
That also has a huge impact on that. Moving on. So today's episode is about saving money. So this, essentially the reason why I wanted to talk about this with you is one of my good friends was asking me about the different ways of buying cars. And specifically they asked me about balloon payments and what exactly is that ultimately. So I decided to pose a little bit of a poll on my Facebook, well, not my Facebook friends, but my WhatsApp friends to see, do you understand what is to buy a car? And I think a lot of people think it's just, you know, a transaction, but people don't really know what are the different ways of buying a car. So I thought maybe it might be a great opportunity to talk about what are the ways that we on Auto Trader First offer, you know, as a service of buying cars, as well as different ways that people might be open to. So off the cuff, do you want to just kind of tell me about the different ways of buying cars, which...
Well, I think the first thing is there's only one way to buy a car. Okay. And that is walk in and pay for it.
Yeah.
Now, I think what you're referring to is different ways of funding the car.
Car ownership, getting to a point where you have mobility as sort of, you know, walking out your door and,
yes.
and driving a car.
I mean, I think we're saying the same thing, but but the nuance is at the end of the day, the dealer that you're buying the car from gets the money when you take the car.
Yes.
The funder, or the creative way in which that car is funded, is where the differences lie. Mm. And then within those funding, or should I say debt options, mm-hmm. you have different options within them as well. So first of all, you can walk in and you can pay cash for a car.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an outright purchase.
Outright purchase.
In your name, you own the vehicle.
Yes. So you own the vehicle, you got full title, full ownership.
Yeah.
Title and ownership are two different things. So usually when you buy a car using bank finance, you get ownership, but you don't get title.
Okay.
The bank keeps the title of the car, just like keeping the title deed.
Yeah.
They can come fetch it anytime, you don't pay. And then you get installment sale purchase, which is just taking a loan against the car as collateral.
Okay.
You pay a monthly installment for up to 72 months. I think there's options for more.
Yeah.
Within that loan, you can also then structure the loan in a creative way. So there's two things you can do. One, fix the interest rate.
Yeah.
Okay. But that pushes your payment up.
You can't always just fix the interest rate though. Isn't there a set of like rules before you can...
Bank will let you fix the interest rate, but if you fix an interest rate, it's usually higher than what you can get on a variable interest rate.
I see.
The bank will allow you to do it, but because you're fixing the interest rate, they push the interest rate up by, you know, a couple of basis points sometimes.
Just in case. Higher than what it currently is at the time.
Well, higher than what you can get at variable interest rate.
Right.
So variable interest rate is the lowest interest rate you get at the time, mm-hmm. but it does vary with the market.
Could be higher, could be lower.
You just got to take a view. Within the finance structure, you can also opt for a balloon payment.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's a balloon payment? It's an uneven payment schedule with one bigger payment at the end.
Pros and cons. Can you just give me a little bit of pros and cons with regards to balloon? Because this is where this whole conversation began, is why would anybody even accept a balloon payment?
So because it brings down the monthly payment for the first 71 months.
Yeah. And then at the end, you got to be this, you know.
And you can refinance that quite often.
Yeah.
So that's what people look to do. I've seen balloon payments of up to 30, 35% of the value of the car. So if you're buying a car for R1 million, R350,000 is your final payment.
On month 72.
On month 72.
And then the other months are a lot lower than if you had to do
if you had to pay off that capital, that R350,000 over the 71 months. So that's all a balloon payment is the final payment is a bigger one, which brings down the other 71 payments effectively. Yeah.
So you save a little bit in terms of the long-term, I guess, the long-term of you paying these monthly payments, you're saving a little bit each month. However, at the end...
Well, you're paying more interest over the period, eh?
Yeah.
Because you've got this R350,000 that you're not paying down.
But your monthly expenses, your monthly payments is...
Your monthly payments lower, but your overall your total payments across the entire 72-month period is higher. Yeah. Okay. There's another thing that people don't take advantage of sometimes, and I don't think many people know that you can do this. You can actually recapitalize your car with some banks.
Okay.
Let's say you get into 24 months, right?
Okay.
Of a 72-month period. You can... go to the bank, some banks, I'm not saying all banks will do this. Some finance institutions will let you refinance what's left over another 72 months potentially.
Okay.
Depending on your credit score and how well you've been paying, which then effectively brings down your payments, your monthly payments, because you're stretching it over another period.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. So you're essentially adding more.
Yeah. Payments. I would say that that's better than the balloon payment because... you're actually paying up front, and then when you get to, you know, 24, 36 months into the payment schedule, you say, okay, I want to finance for another 72 instead of paying at the current rate. So you can see if you've got 36 months left, you can take that amount, stretch it over 72, your repayment becomes half. And you pay a lower amount for the rest of the period, and you don't have a balloon payment.
However, in terms of the total cost that you're paying for the vehicle...
No, it's more because of the interest, yes. Exactly. Okay. Yeah, it'll be more because of the interest. But I think that's a better strategy than the balloon payment. Mm. Although, there's some argument to say the balloon payment makes sense because you can refinance the balloon payment at the end of the period.
So what is the best... I mean, what scenario would that exist in? I'm just trying to think of... Is that for people who have cars for like shorter periods of time?
No. So my opinion on finance is... the opportunity cost of the cash flow should decide what finance you take.
Okay.
Most people don't use that as the criteria to finance. They use emotion. Mm. They buy a car that's unaffordable for them. So therefore, they've got to get the repayment down because they want that GTI.
Yeah.
But they can't really afford the GTI.
Yeah.
For me, the decision should be more around, I'm taking a balloon payment because... the R1,000 a month I can save,
I can reinvest it
somewhere else and make more money than I'm paying on the interest.
Okay, yeah. But people are just like, you know, that GTI is shiny.
Yeah, exactly.
I need the Vrpa.
Exactly. So that's kind of a scenario where balloon payment makes sense.
Yeah.
But then you've got to really be financially astute and disciplined. Mm. And most people don't think that way. They think emotionally when it comes to buying cars.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, so those are some of the other, I mean, there's other ways of ownership, which is we spoke about last week, so I'm not going to get into it. But obviously, rentals and subscriptions.
Well, you've got the rent to own, which is for people that can't get regular first tier bank finance.
Yeah.
Or you've been liquidated or you've got a bad credit name. You can do the rent to own. It's going to cost you more, like we spoke about last week. And then you get the full on subscription leasing option where you don't take ownership of the car ever.
I saw that right now you can get, I think it's a Toyota Vitz or something. I think it's Toyota's like entry-level car for like R3,000 on they thing. But once again, there's also terms and conditions there and there's, you know, so I think there's different ways to save money, but it just depends ultimately is what you're saying on your situation and, you know. Yeah, but balloon payments, are you for or against? Depends.
It depends. I mean, like if you're an emotional buyer and you're going to buy something you can't afford, don't go near a balloon payment because at the end,
it's gonna
bite you.
Yeah.
It's going to bite you. Yeah. If you can take that $1,000 a month that you save and you can make more money than the interest you're paying, then hey, go for it. Because at the end, you're going to sit with the 350,000 rand and you're going to settle it quite easily. But you got to be really, really disciplined.
100%. So there you have it. Additional ways to save money when buying a car. But there are ways to save money when you actually, during the car ownership process.
Yes, buy electric.
That's definitely, well, I mean, yes, I mean, technically speaking.
My fuel bill used to be like over $3,000 a month.
Yeah, and now it's sitting at?
It's like maybe $1,000.
Wow, okay. Fair. Well, not your fuel bill anymore, it's your...
Energy bill.
Your energy bill, yeah, changes. But there are other ways to save money. So I guess one way is definitely buy an EV. That's one, but is there any other ways which...
Well, I mean, to be fair, there's an opportunity cost, and that's the EV is more expensive. So you might just be paying the extra fuel cost up front if you're not careful. Because again, emotional buying.
Yeah. I mean, that is what it is with an EV, right? So the capital that you need is a lot more than an ICE vehicle. And that's where you kind of lose.
Yes. Well, you're effectively paying your fuel up front.
Yes. That's what it is. Other ways to save money is obviously maintenance. People sleep on this one a lot. I did. I recently had to learn the hard way.
Well, forego maintenance. Not only will the car potentially break.
Yes.
But you will also get a lower value when you sell it.
Mm.
Because if there's no full maintenance records, the new buyer is going to potentially say, oh, I don't know about this car. Or the dealer is going to say, you don't have a full service history.
Mm.
Why? What's wrong with this car?
Mm. Mine was a different scenario where it wasn't a service. I did some
modifications.
Not modifications. I think
unplanned modifications.
Unplanned.
What SpaceX calls a RUD.
Exactly that.
Rapid unscheduled disassembly.
That's exactly what happened. That's what I did, and it's led to another problem, which I need to fix soon because that one's costing me now. So be careful. Yeah, make sure you have regular maintenance of your car. You'll save a lot. So another thing is fuel efficient driving. We've spoken about this one quite in depth in our fuel episode. But, you know, fuel efficient driving is the best way to save.
I mean, the best way to save fuel when driving is not to turn off the aircon, and those things save very little compared to one major principle. And I call it try not to brake too much.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't mean, be reckless, but anticipate the stop. Take your foot off the fuel way before you need to stop. Let the vehicle coast and use its own energy for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping on the brakes is actually very fuel inefficient.
Yeah, 100%. Another thing I learned is keeping your windows closed.
Yes, at high speed.
20%.
At high speed.
In high speed, yes.
Yes.
But I mean, that adds up quite
yes,
fast.
Yes, aerodynamics is a big factor when it comes to cars.
A lot of people didn't know that. And then, of course, comparison shop for insurance. Insurance is a great way to save on ownership.
Don't be afraid to switch insurance because I promise you they're not as loyal as you might be.
All those calls that I get from different insurers, you're saying
Embrace them. Get a quote now and again. Yeah. Let me see. What have you got to offer? Insurance is a grudge purchase. We have to have it. Don't forgo it. But... check on your insurance company. I stayed with one insurance company for 20 years. It was a mistake.
Yeah.
I just recently changed.
One thing I did see is I had insurance for one item on one insurer and another on another. And I told them that I was insuring this one thing on, and they were like, how much are you kind of paying for that? And they were like, well, we'll beat it. So usually more times than not, they'd rather... lower your premium from your old one just to get you to
switch.
Yeah,
I try and avoid having that horse trading discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So, when certain insurers phone you and say, oh, we'll beat your insurance, what are you paying?
Mm.
No, put your foot forward and tell me what my insurance premium will be. And then I will tell you whether you beat them or not.
Mm.
But we're not horse trading.
I'm kind of a horse trader, so.
No, but what if you could get it at a whole...
Yeah, what if it's even cheaper?
What if it's even cheaper? And they're like, "Ooh, he's paying 500. We were going to charge him 400. Let's charge him 450."
100%. I mean, that's obviously, you gotta give or take. Another thing is carpooling or using alternative transportation. It's always been one that's been punted by.
Yeah, I mean, I wish alternative transportation or public transportation was, a bigger thing than an option in South Africa, but it's understandably not.
Yeah.
And we don't have the taxi cab services that London and New York City have, and we don't have the bus system that those guys have. We don't have the underground train system. Yes, we've got the Gautrain, and I'm hoping they build new lines.
Yeah, so it's been the same lines for years now.
Yeah, they need to build new lines, but that's investing in infrastructure. I'd rather have electricity than new lines.
100%.
I'd rather keep the lights on
than building another line.
Exactly.
Benoni or.
I mean, would you forego the Gautrain entirely
to have no load shedding? For sure.
Yeah, exactly.
No, for sure. And the last one is DIY maintenance repairs. This is not a life hack. I'm not telling anybody to do this, but if you obviously can, if you're a mechanic, if you have that sort of expertise, then doing your own maintenance and repairs is.
Don't do it in minor. You'll shock yourself.
Yeah, 100%. No, doing an EV.
Yeah, minor things. I mean, check your windscreen wipers, tires, maintain little things that you can maintain. Just do it regularly.
100%.
Fluids.
Those are pretty much all the ways you can save money. And that's the end of the show, George. Thanks
for coming. What's the next race?
Canada. I think.
Go Alonso.
Don't call me. But yeah, I think so.
Search Auto Trader.